For 7 Sundays, beginning today, the second lesson at Mass will be taken from the letter to the Hebrews. And in these 7 weeks, I encourage you to read and study that whole text, which runs to about 10 pages in most Bibles. We do not know who wrote the letter to the Hebrews, because no author is identified in the text itself, but it seems unlikely to have been St. Paul, because the vocabulary of Hebrews is so different from the known letters of Paul. The author may have been St. Barnabas, or Apollos, or perhaps another of Paul's colleagues, but we cannot be sure. And we likewise cannot be certain of when Hebrews was written, though it seems very likely that it was written before the destruction of the temple and the holy city Jerusalem in the year 70 AD, because those events are not mentioned in the text, despite being so central to its message. And finally, although Hebrews is often called a letter, it does not have the form of an epistle. Instead, it is a doctrinal explanation of the unique priesthood of Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of the Old Covenant by reference to the Hebrew Scriptures. For this reason, it seems likely that Christians of Jewish origin were the intended audience of this text, which may actually have been composed as a sermon on the eternal Son of God, who in the fullness of time took flesh as the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem the human race from sin and death and raise us to share his divine glory by the one perfect sacrifice of his life on the cross. But if we can't be sure of when, by whom, or even to whom the letter to the Hebrews was written, we do know why it was written, to offer encouragement to Christians who were exhausted from the daily struggle to follow the Lord Jesus in the way of the cross, and who were tempted to give up that struggle because it seemed futile. Anyone who has ever tried to follow the Lord Jesus knows how difficult his path is, because it is the way of the cross. And it is impossible to preach the gospel with honesty and integrity without acknowledging the cost of discipleship and the difficulty of gospel living. Those who preach a gospel of prosperity and the power of positive thinking are charlatans and frauds who do not preach Christ Jesus crucified, and so they empty the cross of Christ of its power. The very difficulty of being a Christian is one of the reasons why so few men and women walk the way of the cross. And this was explained in the early 20th century by the English convert G.K. Chesterton, who wrote that the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting, it has been found difficult and left untried. And what is true of Christianity in general is most especially true of the sacrament of holy matrimony. In the gospel today, a group of Pharisees attempt to trap the Lord Jesus by inducing him to contradict the law of Moses on the question of divorce, which likely means that the Pharisees already knew or correctly inferred from his other teaching that Christ would not bless divorce. And when asked about this matter by the Pharisees, Jesus did indeed correct Moses by quoting the book of Genesis, from which our first lesson is taken today. Genesis reveals that God's original plan for marriage was that the loving union of husband and wife would be a lifelong, unbreakable bond which would provide for the human future while also providing on earth our best glimpse of the fire of divine love, which is the most holy Trinity, by whom we are created and for whom we are destined. But that plan was abandoned by our first parents in their primordial rebellion, and the fall from grace hardened all of our hearts, after which marriage can be experienced as a great burden, as often as a great blessing. Jesus teaches that it was in recognition of this tragedy that Moses grudgingly permitted divorce, even as the Savior prepared his church for the restoration of the original dignity of marriage by his raising of the natural bond of spousal love into a sacramental covenant. But even dedicated Christians who have tried in good faith to live as husbands and wives by God's grace in the sacrament of holy matrimony know how difficult it is to do so. And that, too, is the way of the cross. Recall that the letter to the Hebrews was written as a message of encouragement. And God knows that we are in constant need of assistance and consolation to bear the cross patiently. Ask Christian spouses who strive to remain faithful to marriage when romance burns low or burns out, or when their partner betrays them or walks away. And not only is fidelity to marriage hard, chastity outside of marriage is hard. Ask single Christians, including those with same-sex desire, who despite the burden of loneliness, strive to live chastely, even while our culture offers constant pressure to surrender to the false anthropology of the sexual revolution. And the burden of the cross falls not just on sexuality. It falls on every area of human life. Ask Christian entrepreneurs trying to conduct their businesses in keeping with the truth of the gospel, while their competitors do not. Ask Christian academics trying to bear witness to the wisdom of God in our universities, while watching the possibility of tenure recede, or facing the danger of woke cancellation gather and grow around them. Ask Christian medical professionals bearing witness to the gospel of life in the midst of a culture of death. Ask Christian politicians called by baptism to defend unborn human life in law, but being seduced to accept the murderous regime of abortion for the sake of winning elections. Ask Christians tempted to abuse drugs or alcohol, but striving to stay clean and sober because our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. In these and so many other cases, it is very often the fact that Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It is rather that Christianity has been found difficult and left untried. That is why the letter to the Hebrews is such a balm to the soul. The central theme of Hebrews is that in the Lord Jesus, we have an eternal high priest who shares our nature and therefore knows our struggles from the inside out, because the eternal Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so we read today that he for a little while was made lower than the angels, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and through whom all things exist, and bringing many children to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. Friends, being a Christian and living the whole counsel of God is difficult, because there is no way to salvation other than the way of the cross. But we should never lose heart in our struggles to die to self and live for God in Christ Jesus, because as the letter to the Hebrews teaches, we have a great high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses because he was tested in every way that we are, yet without sin. So, even when we flag or fail, even when we stumble or fall, even when we want to surrender to discouragement or exhaustion, we must always be mindful that in the passion, death, and resurrection of the great high priest of the new and eternal covenant, we have the unconditional promise of redemption from our sins and a share in eternal glory by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.